We begin the current daf Masechtas Tainis, daf Tezvav. We begin the second parak of Masechtas Tainis, parak Seder Tainis Ketzad. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins with the new mission of the second parak. This is a continuation of the first parak regarding what happens when there's no rain in the land. And then there's a series of fasts. So the mission explains Seder Tainis Ketzad. What is the order, the structure of the actual fast? How does it proceed? So the Mishnah tells us, Meitzinus at table or Chevel Shalir. They would take out the ark that has the Sefer Torah in it to the main city of the main street of the city. Nason Efer Mikla Gabay Ateba, and they would put ashes on top of the ark. Ubresha Nasi on top of the leader of the Jewish people. Ubresha Bezin on top of the head of the leader of the Bezin of the judicial courts. Pchol Echad Be'echad Nason Ubresha, and everybody would go ahead and put on their own heads. Hazakin Shebehen Oim Lefnehen Dibri Kavushin. Now the elder amongst the Jewish people would tell them words of literally means pressing, which means to say that it would press their hearts to make them go back and do tshuva. And the words that he said were as follows. Achenu, our brothers, Le'nemabanshi Ninveh doesn't say regarding the inhabitants of the city of Ninveh that V'yara L'kim Esakim Estanisim, that God saw their sackcloth and their fasting. But rather, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Yoina, says V'yara L'kim Esmasehem, that God saw their actions, Kishovu Midarchim Arad, because they repented from their evil ways. In other words, don't just do the fast. The main thing is the tshuva that a person should do in his heart. Similarly, B'Kabbalah Hu'aymer says in Navi, in the Pasuk in Yoel, says, V'kiru levavchem v'almigdechem, tear, rend your hearts and not your clothing. Now Rashi explains, why does it say over here the term Kabbalah, which is, that's when the Navi commands the Jewish people, as he brings from a Taisvis, that what's the reason why, by when they quote it from Sefer Yoina, it says, V'yala kemes masema, doesn't call it Dibur Kabbalah, and yet here, when it's also saying it from Nach, it says, when it says the Pasuk, V'yikru levavchem, it calls it Kabbalah. And that the interpretation is because wherever the Navi is commanding something and letting it be known, a warning to the Jewish people, that's called Kabbalah. Wherever it's not a commandment from the prophet, where as it says in the Pasuk, Bayar Lakim, which is just telling over an incident, that is, and we just happen to learn something out from that, that is when we don't give the term over there for Divrei Kabbalah. But either way, the message he was telling them was, the main thing is to do tshuva, not just to do the outward actions of the fast. So Amdu B'Tfilah, they would get up to Davin. So Meridin Lefnei Ateva, they would make the Shliach Tzibur to go ahead and dab in front of the Aron, was a Zakan, someone that was an elderly person. V'Ragel, he was also accustomed to davening. That means to say that the tefillah should be fluent in his mouth so that he shouldn't make a mistake, because anytime the Chazan makes a mistake, it's a bad omen for the ones that are sending him. And V'Yesh Leibonim, he should have children. U'Veserekim, and his house should be empty, which that literal translation sounds like it's saying that he should be poor and that he doesn't have food in his house. But the Gemara explains another reason, which is that his body should be clean from all sin, that he didn't sin, and that he didn't have any bad name about him when he was growing up, about any aver that he had done. And the reason why he should have all these characteristics, all these qualities, is k'dei she'yeh libo shalem tefillah, that his heart should be complete with his tefillah. And he would say in front of the people, 24 brachas. There would be yud ches shebechol yom, the 18 brachas of every single day, which is the Shemayna Esrei. And we add on another 6 brachas. And these are them. The first one is Zechrinus. The second one is Veshaifres. And these are the psukim that we say in Rosh Hashanah, Zechrinus and Shaifres. Now the remaining 4 are all Mizmayrim. They're all Parakim and Tehillim. The third one is a Parak Kof Chof and Tehillim, which is El Hashem to Hashem. Batsarasali Karasi. When I was in my constraints, I called out. Vayaneni, and he answered me. The fourth bracha is Per Kav Chaf Aleph in Tehillim, which is Esa Einai Lahar Megamer, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, and etc. The fifth one is Per Kav Lamed, which is Shehamalis Mimamakim Keresich Hashem, from the depths I call out to you, Hashem. And the sixth one is Per Kav Beis in Tehillim, which is Tefillah L'Anikiyatev, a prayer for the pauper when he wraps himself. Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says, L'Hayetzarach Leim Ezerchenes V'Shefes. They didn't have to say for part of the 6 brachas, the first 2 being Zechreinus, the remembrance, and the Pesukim of Shefers. Elam Tachten, rather, he says in the place of those 2 brachas, 2 other brachas. First one being a Pasuk of Malachim Aleph, which is Rav Kiyah Ba'aretz, when there's going to be hunger in the land. Dever Kiyah, and there's going to be a plague. And the second one is a Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which Asher Hayir Devar Hashem El Yirmiyahu, that the word of God was to Yirmiyahu. Al Dever Habatzaris, regarding the droughts. Now the Mishnah continues, now, regarding every one of the parashas that we said we add an extra 6 parashas, After Zechreinus, you would say the conclusion of Zechreinus. After Shaifris, you would say a conclusion of Shaifris. And so too, after every parasha, as the Mishnah is going to explain, they would say the conclusion of that bracha. So the Mishnah tells Al Rishayinu Hu'aymer, regarding the first one they would say. Now Rashi clarifies that we're talking about the bracha of Goel Yisrael, which comes in the middle of Shemayna Esrei, which that in that bracha they would begin to extend the brachas, and that in that place is where they would insert the six brachas. So actually the first one is not Zechreinus, rather it's the bracha of Goel Yisrael itself. And the conclusion was, Misha Anas Avram Bahar Maria, the one that answered Avram in Har Maria, Mount Maria, which was by the Akedah, Hu Yana Eschem, he should respond to all you. These are a reference to all the people that are fasting. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem o yemazen, should hear the voice of your screams today. Baruch atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael, blessed be Hashem, the Redeemer of the Jewish people. Now, Alashniyah, regarding the second bracha, which this is actually the first one of the extra six brachas, as the Gemara is going to explain, which, whereas the first one of Goel Yisrael is actually its own bracha, of the bracha of Shemayna Esrei, and not one of these six. Rather, it's just that that's where they would begin to lengthen the brachas. So regarding the second one, again, which is Zechreinus, so then he would say, Misha Anas Aveseinu al Yamsuf. He, again, a reference to Hashem, who answered our fathers on the Yamsuf, Hu Yana Eschem, he should respond to you, V'yishma kol tzakaschem yamazeh, and it should hear the voice of your screams this day. Baruch atah Hashem, Zoich HaNishkach, is blessed your Hashem, who remembers those who are forgotten. Now the reason why this is said over here, by the bracha of Zechreinus, is because the Jewish people were, so to speak, forgotten in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, for many years, and they already gave up hope of the redemption. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered them and redeemed them, as the Pasuk says in Shema Yisrael, the Ezker es Barisi, and I remembered my covenant. That's why regarding that we mention Yamsuf, which is the redemption from the Jewish people from Egypt, that Zeich HaNishkachis. Alashlishis Huaymer, regarding the third bracha they would say, which is a reference to the second extra one, which is Shaifris, Misha Anas Yeshua BaGilgal. He who answered to Yeshua in Gilgal, Hu Yana Eschem, he should answer you. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem yamazen, should hear the voice of your screams today. Baruch atah Hashem, Shemia Tru, who hears the sound of the Shofar. Now the reason is because they were answered with the Shofar by Yericho, and that's when the Jewish people were still in Gilgal, which was through the acts of Yeshua. That's why I mentioned Shemia Tru. Al Revius Huaymer, regarding the fourth bracha they would say, which that's a reference to the Tehillim, which is the third of the six of El Hashem Batzarasali, he would say, Misha Ones Shmuel Bamitzvah. He who answered Shmuel Bamitzvah, Hu Yana Eschem, he should answer you. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem yamazeh, and he should hear the voice of your screams today. Baruch atah Hashem, Shemia Tzaka, blessed be Hashem who hears the screams. Al Chamishis Huaymer, on the fifth one he would say, Misha Ones Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, he who answered Eliyahu on Mount Carmel, Hu Yana Eschem, he should respond, he should answer you, V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem yamazeh, and hear the voice of your screams today, Baruch atah Hashem, Shemia Tefillah, blessed be Hashem who hears the Tefillah. Now that's in correlation by Eliyahu on Har Carmel to the Tehillim that says, Esayin Al-Arim, which was, he was on Har Har Carmel, which is similar to Esayin Al-Arim, which is the same idea from the bracha before, Shmuel B'Mitzvah, which says in the Pasuk, El Hashem B'Tzarasali, each one correlating to the act of the bracha that we're reciting. Al-Hashishis Huaymer, on the sixth bracha, he would say, Mish Anas Yayna B'Meah Hadaga, he who answered Yayna from the stomach of the fish, Hu Yana Eschem, he should answer you, V'yishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Yamazeh, and he should listen to the voice of your screams today, Baruch HaTor Hashem, Ha'ayna B'Yitzar, who answers in the time of constraints. Now, that the idea of answering from the stomach is similar to that Tehillim, which is the extra bracha of Mimam Malkim Kersich Hashem, from the depths I call out to you Hashem, and Ayna Be'es Tzara, which is also written by Yana, which is Karasi Mitzarali. Ala Shvi Yisroim, on the seventh bracha, he would say, which I'm going to explain what seventh are we talking about, if we say we only add six brachas, which is Misha Anas David, he who answered David, which is a reference to the hunger that was in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, as it says in Shmuel Beis, Ve'shleima B'noi B'Yushalayim, and his son Shleima Yushalayim, which is when he tried bringing the Aron into the Kachi Kachim when the gates were closed, or it's a reference actually to the hunger, which is mentioned in Malachim Aleph. Hu Yana Eschem, he should answer you, V'yishma B'kol Tzakaschem Yamazen, hear the voice that he screams today, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMeracham Al Arts, bless you Hashem, who has mercy on the land, and that's why the chasima, the conclusion is Meracham Al Arts, because they daven regarding Eretz Yisrael. And Tefillah La'ani Kiyativ, which, as we had already explained, that really is the seventh one, which is the sixth one, but the seventh one, because the first one is Gael Yisrael, is also regarding the pressing need of rain which is to come down, as it says over there, Be'atzer Shemayim, and that's why it's relation to that one where we have David and Shleiman, and Merach Malaretz, and the Tfilah on the Kayata, which is all talking about having the rain coming down the land. So the Mishnah continues and tells us regarding these halachas of the Tainis, Maisa, there was an incident, we continue on Talmud Beis, Reb Chalafta, Reb Chananya ben Tradin, She'aver Echel of Nehateva, that one person went to daven for the Amid, the Gamas Abracha Kuli concluded the entire Bracha, but they didn't respond after the Bracha Amen. Rather, Baruch Shem Kavod Machus Leilam Vod. Now the Mishnah continues and tells us that the Chazan of the Shul, he would say regarding every single Bracha, now that Chazan HaKnesses is actually the Shamish, he's not the Shlich Tzibur himself who is davening, he would say by every Bracha, Tiku HaKa'ana V'Tiku, the Kahanim should blow the Shaif and they should blow a Tekiah. And then he would continue and say, Misha Anes Avram Avinu Bahamaria, he who answered our father Avram in Mount Moriah, Huyana Eskim Yishma B'kol Tzarkaschem Yimazeh, and then Hariyu B'nei Aaron Hariyu, that the sons of Aaron, they should blow a Trua, and then he would continue, Misha Anes Avasein Al Yamsev, he who answered our father in Yamsev, Huyana Eskim Yishma B'kol Tzarkaschem Hayimazeh, and so too this was regarding every single bracha, that by the conclusion of every bracha, he would say to do a Tekiah, the next one the Trua, then Tekiah, and so on. Now the Mishnah tells us, Ukushabad Davar Itzel Chachamim Amru, when this story came to the Chacham, which we said happened in the days of Chalafter and Chanan Tradin, that that's what they did. So Amru, they said, Lo Hayinu Noyegin Kein, this wasn't our custom not to answer Amen on the brachas, rather to say Baruch Shem Kavayim Achusilam, but for the conclusion, that was Ele B'Shar Mizruch B'Har Bais, that was only by the Eastern Gate and by the Temple Mount. In other words, when the time of the Beis HaMikdash was still around, and they would daven in Har Bais in the Temple Mount, then they would come through the Eastern Gate. That's because in the Beis HaMikdash they didn't answer Amen, as the Gemara says in Daf Tezayim Beis. Now, as Rashi clarifies, it can't be that what they were referencing to was that they would only blow the tekiahs in the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not true. They definitely blew the tekiahs even outside of Yerushalayim, as it's obvious from our entire Masechta, and it says in Masechta's Rosh Hashanah, Naf Chavavim Beis. So therefore, they were saying, regarding this, not saying Amen, but rather Baruch Shem Kavayim Achus Lamavad, that's not our custom. We say Amen, it's only in the Beis HaMikdash that they say Baruch Shem Kavayim Achus Lamavad. So Mishnah continues explaining regarding the Seder HaTainis. Shalosh Tainis Rishainis. The first three fasts, as Rita explained in the previous parak, that there was three groups of fasts. There was a group of three fasts, then another three, then the final seven. So regarding the first three fasts, so Anshei Mishmer, the people of the group, in other words, the groups of the Kahanim for that week, Mis'an V'loi Mashlimin, so they would fast, but they wouldn't complete their fast. And that's because in the first three fasts, it's not so stringent the fast yet. Now the Gemara explains it of Yedzayinim and Aleph. And the reason is because maybe the work will become too much of the Avodah for what's called the Beis Av, who would work that day. And then those other ones from the rest of the week would come to help them. And if they had fasted and completed the fast, so they wouldn't have energy to go ahead and help out on the Avodah. So therefore they would fast, but not conclude the fast. V'anshei Beis Av, and those who were working in the Beis HaMikdash in that day itself, and that's because there were 24 groups of Kahanim, which each group had a week. Then each week, that group is split into seven different batei avos, which are different families in that mishmer, or correlating to the days of the week. Every Beis Av had that day. So those that were doing the avodah that day in the Beis HaMikdash, lohayim asan klal, they wouldn't fast at all because they had to have the energy to do the avodah that was incumbent upon them to do that day. Those from the mishmer were there to help out, and therefore they could fast, but they couldn't complete. Shalosh Shni is regarding the second group of the three fasts. So then anshei mishmer mis'an mashlimin, those who were part of the week, not that day, then they would fast and even complete the fast. V'anshei Beis Av, and those who were doing the avodah that day, misanav le'mashlimin, they would fast but not complete the fast. And finally, Sheva Achrayinis, regarding the last seven fasts, elu ve'elu misanav mashlimin, they would all fast and complete. Divrei Bishua, that's the opinion of Bishua. The Chama, I mean, the Chama say, they're more lenient. They say, Shalosh Tainis Rishainis, regarding the first three fasts, Elu ve'elu lohayim asan klal. Neither one of them, not the ones at the Beis Av doing the avodah that day, or from the Anshei Mishmer, they wouldn't fast at all. Shalosh Shni is regarding the second group of three, Anshei Mishmer mis'an ve'loy mashlimin, the people of the Mishmer, so then they would fast and not complete it. Anshei Beis Av lohayim asan klal, but those who were doing the avodah that day wouldn't even fast at all. Shevach Rein is regarding the final seven, then Anshei Mishmer mis'an mashlimin, the people of the Mishmer, they would fast and complete it. Then they would finally fast, but still not complete it. Now the Mishnah continues, unrelated not to the idea of the tainis to fast that we're discussing, but rather once we spoke about the people of the Mishmer of that week of the Kahanim, so the Mishnah continues with related halachas. Anshei Mishmer, the people, the Kahanim from that group of that week, mutarin lishtas yain belelis. They're allowed to drink wine in the evenings. Now the reason is because we're not concerned that maybe there's going to be so much aveda, which has to be done even by the nighttime, because they already saw towards evening time that how much karbanas there were, that there's not that many karbanas. So therefore, at nighttime they could drink wine, but not by the daytime. And the reason is because maybe there might be a lot of karbanas that are going to be brought, and the people of the Beis Av, the Kahanim, will not be able to do it by themselves, and they need to have help. But the other ones now won't be able to help out, because once they drink wine, they're forbidden to do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. But Anshei Beis Av and the Kahanim are doing the avodah that day, they're not allowed to drink, not by daytime and not by nighttime. And the reason is because even in the evening following that day, they're still doing the avodahs, which they do the Ivarim and the Fedarim, they take all the limbs and the fats, which fell off of the Mizbeach, or if they didn't have a chance to do it all during the daytime, then they do it at nighttime. But the people of the Mishmer, they just have to help, which is to turn over the fork, and that they don't have to do, because that's enough for the Beis Av themselves to do it at the nighttime. Another halacha the Mishnah tells us, Anshei Mishmer v'Anshei Maimed, the Kahanim from that week, and the people of the Maimed, of the assembly, which this is a halacha that Kahanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, they would get together and they would daven regarding the karbanas of their brothers that are being brought, all the karbanas, the Tamidim, the Masaf, and everything that's brought that should be accepted by Hashem to stand there during the Avodah. Because the idea is, how could a karban of a person, which in this idea is the karban of the tzibah, be brought without a representative of them standing over them? And therefore, there had to be an assembly of the Jewish people, which is called Anshei Maimed, present there, which correlates to the Anshei Mishmer during that week. So these people are asurin milosaper al-machabas. They're forbidden to go ahead and cut their hair during that week and from washing their clothing during that time. Rather, they have to go ahead and cut their hair and wash their clothing beforehand, as the Gemara will explain the reason for this. However, ubechamishi, on Thursday of that Mishmer, then mutarim nekavod haShabbos, then they're permitted to go ahead and cut their hair and wash their clothing because of the honor of Shabbos, which that's the normative practice of many people, that they cut their hair on Thursday and not on Erev Shabbos because everyone's so busy on Erev Shabbos. Now, continuing on the theme of Tanesim, of the fast, the Mishnah tells us, Kol HaKasav B'Megillas Tainus, whatever is written in this Megillas Tainus, which was the tract of teachings which were written, although it wasn't written yet, the halachas yet, but this they had been written down in the times of the Chachamim, the Loy L'Mispit. So whatever is written in this Megillah, in this scroll of times that one should not fast, and it says that even more that people shouldn't even eulogize, which it says the Issi Amaya, there are certain days, the Loy L'Asana, that one shouldn't fast, and Miktsasin the Chamiri Tvei, some that are even more stringent, the Loy L'Mispit, that's what it says in Megillah's Tainus, not to have a Hespid. Now, these times that are more stringent, the halacha is lefanavaser, that is, not only is that day which is designated as a yomtiv because of a certain miracle that happened, but even the day before is forbidden to have a hesped, because you might come to do it on the day itself. But la'achav mutter, but the day after is permitted, because once the day passed, we're not concerned anymore that if we let you the day after, then you might do it the day before. B'yisaymer, he argues, he says, lefanav la'achavaser, it's forbidden both before and after. Now, regarding that which says in Megillas Tanis, deloy lehisana, not to fast, which is not as stringent to make it forbidden even to eulogize, it's just that you cannot fast. So then the halacha is lefanav v'la'achav mutter, then beforehand and afterwards is permitted. B'yisem, he argues, he says, no, lefanav asur la'achav mutter, for beforehand it's forbidden, but the day after is permitted. Now continuing on these halachas of the Tanesim, the Mishnah tells us, inkais and tainis ala tzibra b'tchila b'chamishi. You cannot go ahead and begin a series of fasts on a Thursday. And the reason is, shaloi lahafkiya hashar, not to have the prices in the stores go skyrocket and go become more expensive and inflate the price. Because the idea is, when the store owners see that on Thursday, everyone's buying two large meals. Now the reason is because one is to be able to, when they finish their fast, have a big meal. And they're already buying a meal for Shabbos. They're going to think, oh, must be a hunger is coming to the world, and therefore they're going to inflate the prices. So rather, Eloshalish Tainis Rishainis Sheini V'chamisha V'sheini. Rather, the first three fasts you make on a Monday, then a Thursday, then a Monday, which is commonly known as Bahab, which the Beis, Hey, Beis, is Monday, Thursday, Monday. And then, V'shalish Nias Chamisha Sheini V'chamisha, then the second group of the three fasts can be a Thursday, Monday, Thursday, and that's because once they start a fasting, then the store owners know that it's not a hunger coming to the world, it's just because of the public fast. Rabbi Yossi argues, he says, K'shem she'en rishaynis b'chamishi, just like the first group of fasts cannot be on a Thursday, kach lishnis u'lachraynis, so too not the second group of the three fasts, and neither can the last seven fasts. Moreover, the halachas regarding this, that in gais and tainis ala tzibber, we're not allowed to make a fast on the public, but Rosh Chodeshim and Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is called a moed, a holiday, neither b'chanukah b'purim, and not on Chanukah and Purim. However, if they started, that they'd already accepted a fast beforehand, and one of the days became that it happens to be in Rosh Chodesh, then they mafsikin, then we don't interrupt it, because although it's called a mayid, but it's not called a day of mishta b'simcha, of feasting and of rejoicing, and therefore one is allowed to fast. That's the opinion of Gamliel. Now, Amar Meir, Meir said, that afa pish Amar Gamliel, in mafsikin, although Gamliel says that we don't interrupt, and we actually fast on that day, but he agreed that we did not complete the fast to finish the entire day, but rather we eat a little bit towards evening before the day ends. Similarly, v'chein Tisha B'av shechalias b'Erev Shabbos, same thing halacha applies to Tisha B'av that comes on Erev Shabbos, that we're not mashlim, although we fast on that Friday, but we eat a little bit before Shabbos, not to come into Shabbos all hungered out. Now the Gemara explains our Mishnah that opened up, Seidutaneus Ketzad, what is the order, the structure of how did the public fast look like? So the Mishnah told us, Metzina Sateva, v'chul, they would take out the ark to the main street. Now the Gemara asks, v'afil b'kamaisa, is that true that they would take out the teva even by the first series of the three fasts? But v'raminu, we learn the braisa that says, shalosh tainis rishayinis vishniyis, regarding the first and the second group of three fasts, nechnasim l'beis haknesis, they would go into shul, u'mespalin kederach shemespalin kol hashana kula, they would daven the way they normally daven the entire year. U'beshev achrayinis, however, in the last seven fasts, Meitzin as a table or chayvus shalir, they would take the ark out to the main street in the city. V'nois and efer al gabay teva, they would put dust on top of the teva. Ubereish hanasi, ubereish habezin, on the head of the nasi, the leader of the Jewish people, on the head of the habezin. Kolachad ve'echal noitim v'nois mereishin, everybody would go out and take and put dust on their heads. Reb Nosnaimer, he says, like our Mishnah's version, then efer miklahim avin, they would take ashes and then put on all these things. But one thing that we see is that it was only by the last seven fasts. So Amar Papa says, Kitnan Nam Masnitin. You're right, when we learned in our Mishnah, Seidu Tainis Ketzad, which included taking out to the main city, to the main street, Ashev Achrenis Nan, that was regarding the last seven fasts. Then the Mishnah continued and told us that a Beresh HaNasi, they would take the ashes and put on the head of the Nasi. But then, Vahadu Tani, then the Mishnah told us, Kol Echad Ve'echad, and the Gir says, Nisin Bereshi, everyone go ahead and put on their heads. Now, the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so that the order is first putting on the Nasi and the Avbez, and then everybody else? But when the Gira says, V'atani, learn the Braisa, Pudaimer, he says, B'gedula, by greatness, by just a regular thing, not for punishment, then Maschilim and Agadol, then they would start from the greatest, U'b'klala Maschilim and Agadol, however, by curse, you start the curse from the lowest, as we find B'gedula Maschilim and Agadol, when it comes to greatness, when we're honoring in a way that we start from the greatest. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk of Yikra, says, V'yemer Meisha la'aron, first Moshe said to Aaron, then Ulalazar Lisama, then to Lazar Nisama, which is first and the greatest, and then lower down. Ubaklala Maschil Makatan, by curse we start from the lowest. That's as we find, Betchil Neskal Nachish regarding the head of the Eitz Hadas. First was cursed the snake, V'achakach Neskal Chava, and then Chava was cursed, V'achakach Neskal Adam, and then Adam was created by Hashem himself, then he was cursed. So we see that cursing should start from the lowest. So why over here, when we're doing something degrading of putting on the ashes, do we go ahead and start from the greatest? So that the Gemara's answer is actually Hachashivus Lididu. That actually is describing greatness to the Nasi Nav Bezin. Because the Amilu, they were telling them, Atun Chashivisi, you're significant. Limivi Alon Rachme Kuleama, to go ahead and daven for all of us, and that's why we're putting the ashes on you first, so you go ahead and daven because you're the Mochash of everybody else. Then the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah that said, V'chol Echad V'Echad, everybody would go ahead, and the Gemara says, Nais and Bereshit, and put on his head. Now, the Gemara's question is, we learned that Benais Nagabe Teva, they would put on top of the Teva, and Val Reisha Nasi, which sounds like that regarding the Nasi, Dav Bezdin, other people would go ahead and put it on their head. Now, however, regarding other people, it doesn't say Naisnin, rather Kol Echad Ve'echad, Naisnin, everybody ahead would go ahead and take it and put on their own heads. So the question the Gemara asks is, Nasi Vav Bezdin Nami Nishkalu Inu. What do you mean? The Nasi and the Avbezin, they should also go ahead and take, and they should put on their head. What's the difference by them that other people take it and put on their head? So Amar Babadim in Kisari, he says, Eina Deima Mizbayish Ma'atma. You cannot compare somebody that becomes embarrassed from himself, which we continue on top of the Zayin Mar Aleph, the Mizbayish Ma'achem, who's becoming embarrassed from other people, where there's more disheartening. And because they're more chashiv, that's why they become embarrassed from other people. And that's why we have the people put the ashes on their head, which other people are degrading them. But other people, which are not so chashiv, they don't become embarrassed by other people putting on their head. And therefore, for them, it's enough for this function for them to put on their own heads. Now, the Gemara concludes in asking, where did they actually put the ashes on the heads? So, Rabbi Yisrael says, on the place where the tefillin are, where they go. Shnum, like it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, Lasum laveli tzin, to put for the mourners of tzin. Las lehem pe'er, to place beauty, tachas ephraim, place of the ashes, which are those are the same letters, which we obviously see that the ashes are on the place where the tefillin are, where it says, Nicheskel chavdal, pe'er chachav shalacha, that your beauty is strapped onto you, which the Gemara and Brachas, Tafiyat Alpha and Alpha explains, that's a reference to the tefillin, as the Targum actually translates, Taitavtacha havien alacha. Now, where do we actually put tefillin? That's where the place where the head, the skull of the child is very soft. That's where we put the tefillin, and therefore that's where they put the ashes.